Thank thee and we praise thee tonight for the great privilege again that you've given to us to open up the Word of God and to preach the message of the gospel. And we pray tonight, Lord, that you would come and fill us afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit. Oh God, we're so conscious that without thee we can do nothing. We thank thee for your presence with us thus far. And we just pray now, Lord, as we would turn to the precious truth of God, that you would speak to hearts. We think of those here tonight who are not saved, those who are listening in, and they're still strangers to grace and to God, that even this night, Lord, that you would convict them of their sin and reveal unto them their great need of God's eternal salvation. Lord, we thank thee that you're still in the soul-saving business, and you're still able to save to the uttermost all that come to thee. O God, to this end, I pray that we might know the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Hide man far behind the cross. Tonight, Lord, may none be seen save Jesus only. And we pray, Lord, that even in this service tonight, that there might be those who will come and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Fill us now with thy power. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Tonight and Sunday night, I want to consider these two dying thieves that we read about here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. I'm sure that you have heard about these two malefactors many times before. But as I've said this evening and on Sunday night, we want to consider these two malefactors. And I pray as we do so that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts, but particularly, if you're here tonight and listening in, that the Lord will speak to you if you're not saved and not born again of the Spirit of God. Both their lives are so much the same. They both lived the same kind of lives. They were thieves and they were malefactors. They both died the same kind of death. They were both crucified for their crimes, and rightly so. They both spent their last moments being crucified beside the Lord Jesus Christ, one on the right-hand side of Christ and the other on the left-hand side of the Savior. And yet, when these two malefactors died, one of them went to heaven and the other one went to hell. Why was this? Why did one of these men end up in heaven and the other one end up in a Christless eternity? Well, that's the question that we are going to get an answer to tonight, and God willing, on Sunday evening as well. And I pray if you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, that you listen very carefully to this message tonight. And I pray that the Lord will write his word upon your soul. It's a very simple message tonight, and also on Sunday evening when we come to consider this subject again. And I pray that the Lord will speak to your soul, even this evening especially, when you come and listen now to the precious Word of God. Tonight I want to draw your attention to the thief that went to heaven when he died. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you going to heaven? Thank God you can know that you're going to heaven. And we're going to find out tonight that before this thief died and went to be with the Lord, that he had the assurance that he was going to heaven and to home. And no matter who you are this evening, whether you're in the church here or whether you're listening over the airwaves, thank God the Bible tells us that not only can we know that we're going to heaven, but the Bible emphasizes the importance of knowing that we're going to heaven. And I pray that if you have not that knowledge and that assurance, that even before this service is over tonight, that you will have that assurance and that knowledge that you're on your way to heaven and home. We have here, of course, the conversion of the dying thief. And as we study this passage of Scripture, we see how he got saved. He's in heaven because he got saved. He's in heaven because before he died, he was converted. And what we have here in this portion of Scripture, of course, is the conversion of this man. And I want you to see how he got saved tonight. My friend, if you're ever going to be in heaven, you must get saved. You must be born again of the Spirit of God. Therefore, I pray that you listen very carefully to this simple message tonight and that God will write his word upon your heart. How did this dying thief get saved? How did he prepare for heaven? Well, I want you to notice, first of all, that he realized that he was a sinner. Take a look what it says there in verse 41. This is what he said. He said this to his other friend, his other malefactor. He says, "We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." In that statement there, very simply, this malefactor is acknowledging that he is a sinner. Now, he was always a sinner. He was born into this world a sinner. As he grew up as a boy in Israel, he was a sinner. As he went about thieving and doing his sinful crimes, he was a sinner. I don't believe he ever realized it before. But now, as he's hanging on the cross beside the Lord Jesus Christ, just about to die, indeed, just about to go out into hell itself, he realizes, I believe, for the first time, that he has broken God's law, trampling under God's commandments, and that he personally has sinned and come short of the glory of God. My friend, very simply tonight, you'll never be saved until you realize that you're the sinner. You'll never be converted until you recognize that you are the sinner. What does the Bible say? Well, keep your hand in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23 there, and turn over just for a moment to Romans chapter 3. Now, it's a very familiar portion of Scripture to most of us, but maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. Maybe you're listening to this message this evening and you're not a Christian. Well, I want you to see very simply what the Bible says about you and about me and about all of us. Because here's the truth of the matter, that we're all sinners in the sight of God. We have been all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Look there with me at verse 10 of Romans chapter 3. "For as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." And then look at verse 23, that famous verse that so many of us know. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I wonder tonight, are you willing to confess that you're the sinner? Are you willing to admit that you have broken the law of God, that you have been born in sin and shapen in iniquity? My friend, if you're ever going to be saved, if you're ever going to get into heaven, if you're ever going to have the knowledge that you're on your way to glory, then you must, first of all, realize that you are the sinner. Now, believe it or not, that's the hardest hurdle for a man or a woman to step over in their lives, to admit in their lives that they are sinners before God. I can remember a few years ago going to speak to a man in hospital. He wasn't well, and I got the opportunity of witnessing to him about his soul. He was a very religious man, but he was not saved. And when I started to explain to him how he could be saved and his need of coming to Christ and being born again of the Spirit of God, and of course, in the course of our conversation, as I explained salvation to him, I had to, of course, draw his attention to the fact that he was born a sinner and that he was a sinner. And he just stopped me there and he says, "Listen, Mr. Gray, I'm not as bad as other men. I go to church and I have been a good churchgoer all my life. I'm not a wicked sinner like the people that you're describing to me now." But the truth was that he had sinned and that he was a sinner, but he couldn't see that. And my friend, until you see yourself as the sinner, then you will never come and be saved by the grace of God. I wonder, are you willing tonight to take the sinner's place, to recognize that you have sinned before God and that you've been born in sin and shapen in iniquity? Well, here was a man, and as he hung on the cross beside the Lord Jesus Christ, he realizes that he is the sinner. He says here, "We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." But I want you to notice something else here about this man's conversion. Not only his realization, he realized he was a sinner, but I want you to notice, secondly, that he recognized that only Jesus Christ could save him. Now, when you study this passage of Scripture, this dying thief, he recognized the purity of Christ, he recognized the power of Christ, and he recognized the person of Christ. I wonder, did you notice those truths as we read down this passage of Scripture? If you take a look again at verse 41, you will see that the thief recognized Christ's purity when he acknowledged Christ's sinlessness, because he said of Christ at the end of verse 41, "This man," speaking of Christ, "had done nothing amiss." So we recognize that the one who was hanging on the cross beside him had no sin, that he had done nothing worthy of death. He is recognizing the sinlessness of Christ here. And then if you take a look at verse 42, you will notice that he recognized Christ's person when he acknowledged Christ as Lord, because he says here, "Lord, remember me." Lord. And of course, that word Lord means master. And he's recognizing who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He's recognizing the person of Christ. He's recognizing that the one who's hanging on the cross beside him is none other than the Son of God, the second person in the Holy Trinity. And then if you look at verse 42 again, you will notice that he recognized Christ's power when he acknowledged Christ's kingdom, because he acknowledges here that Christ is going to a kingdom. He says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." So he recognizes here that the Lord Jesus Christ is king of a kingdom, even beyond this world. What does all this mean? What does all this sum up to mean? It sums up to mean this, that here's a man who recognized that the only one who could save him, the only one who could bring him to heaven, the only one who could forgive him for his sins was the one that was hanging on the cross beside him, even the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. My friend, you can never be saved. If you're listening tonight, whether you're in the meeting or listening over the airwaves, you can never be saved. You can never get into heaven until you recognize that there's only one person who can save you from your sins and bring you into heaven, and that one is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Because the Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other," speaking of Christ, "for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Jesus said himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The church can't save you. The minister can't save you. The preacher can't save you. Mary can't save you. The ordinances, keeping the ordinances of the church, cannot save you. Your good works cannot save you. There's only one who can save, and that is the one who left heaven's glory, came down into this sin-cursed world, was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, and then went and died an atoning death for your sins and my sins upon the cross. He then rose again, and then he ascended back up into heaven. And at this very moment, he is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for his people. And that one is coming again someday, and his name is Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. I wonder, have you ever stopped and considered who the Lord Jesus Christ is? Oh, thank God we have a wonderful message for you tonight again. I'm sure that you've been listening to it night by night, but let me just declare it again. Thank God there's one who can deliver you from your sin. There's one who can give you peace in your heart, joy in your soul. There's one who can give you the assurance of heaven. There's one who can redeem you tonight. And that one is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. You see, here was a man, the dying thief, and he's just about to die. He's just about to go out into eternity, as I have said, just about to go into hell itself. And then all of a sudden, he realizes that he's the sinner. And he recognizes that the one who's hanging beside him is none other than the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, friend, tonight I plead with you. I plead with you. Come with me, visit Calvary, where my Redeemer died. His blood, it fills the fountain. 'Tis full, 'tis deep, 'tis wide. Here's this thief. He recognizes that the Lord Jesus is dying on the cross for his sins. He's already acknowledged that Christ is not dying for his own sins because he acknowledged that Christ had no sins. And for the first time in his life, he realizes and recognizes that the one that's hanging beside him is none other than the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world. My friend, do you recognize that tonight? Are you willing to confess your sin to God? Are you willing to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone to save your precious soul? You see, that's the third thing I want you to notice here. We're dealing here with the conversion of the dying thief. We're seeing here how he prepared for heaven, how he was saved. I want you to notice that not only did he realize that he was the sinner, and not only did he recognize that only Christ could save him, but he repented of his sin, and by faith he called upon the Lord to save him. Now, I want you to see that. Take a look what it says there in verse 43. It says this, or verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, here's his cry of faith. Here's his cry in repentance. He says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now, the Bible tells us that in order to be saved, we must exercise faith in Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We know that salvation is of the Lord. But in order to be saved, the sinner must cry unto God for mercy. And he must cry in repentance. Repentance means turning away from sin. Repentance means confessing your sin to God, acknowledging to God that you're the transgressor, and then by faith, trusting Jesus Christ to save you and to prepare your soul for heaven and for home. That's what this man was doing here. He couldn't save himself. My friend, he couldn't even get down from the cross. There's nothing he could do. Just about to go out into eternity. As we have said, let me say it again. Just about to go out into hell itself. And then he realizes that he's the sinner, and he recognizes that the one that's hanging on the cross beside him is the Savior. And he turns to Christ. I believe he turns his head around to the Savior and he says, Lord, remember me. Save me, Lord. Bring me to heaven. Forgive me for my sin. I trust in thee as my Savior. And the Lord saved him, and the Lord forgave him. How do we know that he repented of his sin? How do we know that the Lord saved him? Well, of course, we know that he repented of his sin, and we know that by faith he trusted Christ as his Savior, and we know that he was saved because of what Jesus said to him. Take a look what Jesus said to him. We all are so familiar with the words, but look at verse 43. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. My, what a wonderful promise. There's the assurance that Christ gave to the dying thief. And friend, that's the assurance that the Lord gives to every sinner that calls upon him for salvation in repentance and in faith. Well, let me ask you a question tonight. Have you ever called upon the Lord to forgive you for your sin? Have you ever called upon the Lord in repentance and faith and put your trust in him to save you and cried unto him for mercy to forgive you for your sins? Oh, I pray if you haven't, that even tonight that you will come and call upon the Lord, because he will save you, and he will save you for time and for eternity, but you must repent. The Bible says, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. As I have said, repentance is turning away from sin, doing an about turn. Now, repentance means more than being sorry for your sin. There's a lot of people, and when they commit wrong, they're sorry for their sins. They're sorry for their crimes. But you know, after a few weeks or a few months, they just go back to their same crimes again. They just go back to their same old ways again. I can remember before my father was saved that he used to be sorry for his drinking. Now, my father was a very heavy drinker. And every weekend, he would have, after he got his pay from working hard all week, he would have went out and he would have went to the pub and he would have spent all the money that he earned drinking. And he could have been drinking Friday night, Saturday night, on all day and Sunday. And sometimes he drank until the Monday night, until there was no money left. Then he would come home. And of course, after he had sobered up, he was sorry. And he would tell my mother, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I've spent all the money. I'm sorry I was such an idiot. And that's exactly what he was. He was an idiot. And my friend, any man, any woman that drinks and goes out into the world and the pleasures of the world, they're fools. And my father was a fool, but he was sorry. And of course, he would make my mother a promise, and he would say, I'll never go back to the drink. I'll never spend another penny in the booze house. And that lasted for a few weeks, and sometimes even a few months. But then he was back at the drink again. Because you see, remorse and being sorry, it's not repentance. Repentance means turning away from your sin. But you see, the night my father got saved, and I'll never forget that night. He phoned me up. We were living in Belfast, and the Lord was working in his heart, and the Lord had been working in his heart for many years, but that particular weekend, and he had been out drinking all that weekend again, but he had sobered up. He had drunk that much that he had sobered up. And he phoned me, and we were living in Belfast, and he wanted to get saved. This was 3 o'clock in the morning. I thought something had happened. I didn't know what was going on. And I led him to the Lord over the phone. And when I set the phone down, I went up, and Arling was awake at this time, and I says, Arling, my dad wanted to get saved. And to tell you the truth, I didn't believe it. Not for one second did I believe it. But the next day, he phoned me. In fact, the next day, he came down to Belfast to see us. And the change that was in his life. And you know, he never went back to the boozer again. Never went back again. There was true repentance, you see. And there was true faith in Jesus Christ. He called upon the Lord to save him. He had enough. Oh, I wonder, is there someone here tonight or listening to this message? And you've had enough of sin, had enough of drugs, had enough of drink, had enough of the world. Oh, come to Christ tonight. You can be saved this evening. I don't care how far down the road of iniquity you may have traveled. Thank God you can be saved tonight. I could tell the same story about my grandfather, my father's father. He too was a very heavy, heavy drinker. And just about 18 months before he came to Christ, my grandmother got saved through the preaching of Leonard Ravenhill. And 18 months later, and they had been praying for him in a mission hall. He went to the boozer. He went to the pub. And he was almost drunk. And he bought a drink. And he He drunk it, and he said to the barman, "Now, I'll not be back. There'll be no more drink after tonight. I'm telling you that now." And he staggered out of the pub, and he went down to where my grandmother and a few other Christians in the mission hall were praying, and he bursted into the mission hall. He wasn't happy when my grandmother got saved. Not happy at all. And they thought he was going into the mission hall that night to order my grandmother out. But he didn't. He got down on his knees with the rest of them, and he called upon God for salvation. And that night he repented of his sin, and by faith he trusted Jesus Christ as a Savior. He called upon the Lord to save him. He never went back to the boozer again. Never went back. Oh, my friend, what the Lord did here for this dying thief, what the Lord did for my old drunken father and grandfather, the Lord can do for you this evening. You can make preparation for heaven tonight. You can know and have the assurance that you're on your way to glory this evening. You can be saved. But you must realize that you're the sinner. And you must confess your sin to God. And you must recognize that only Jesus Christ can save you. And you must call upon Him in true repentance and faith. And if you do, the Lord will save you tonight. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Look again at the reward that Christ promised to the dying thief. Look what it says there, again in verse 43. "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." My friend, there's the assurance of God's salvation. You know, some people tell us tonight that you can't have the assurance that you're going to heaven. You can't know that you're going to be in heaven until you die and find out. Well, here's a man who before he died and left this scene of time, he knew he was going to heaven because of the promise of the Savior. And my friend, it's the same today. The same Savior that promised the dying thief eternal life and a home in heaven is the same Savior that promises you and me tonight everlasting life when we come as sinners and put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of mine hand." And thank God, you can make that promise your promise tonight. I wonder, will you do that? Will you just cast yourself upon the Lord and call upon Him to have mercy upon your never-dying soul? You see, you must come as a sinner to Jesus. You must take the sinner's place, and you must cast your all upon Him. He has died and shed His precious blood for your sins. Thank God He has risen again, and all power belongeth unto Him in heaven and on earth, and He can save to the uttermost all that come and put their faith and trust in Him. Do you know tonight, are you sure tonight that you're going to heaven? You can have this assurance, and you can have this assurance right now. You remember what John said. He said, "These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." You remember what Paul said? Paul said that he had a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Paul had this assurance. You remember what the psalmist said? He said, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The psalmist had the assurance because the shepherd had saved him and redeemed him. You remember what Peter said? He said that he was born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And Peter went on to say that he had an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. He had the assurance. You remember what Job said? "I know that my Redeemer liveth." You remember what it said about Abraham? It says that Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. He knew that he was heaven-bound. Oh, friend, you can have the assurance. You can have your sins forgiven tonight. You can know that you're on your way to heaven. but you must be saved. You must come and realize you're the sinner. That's the first hurdle. And you must recognize that only Jesus can save. That's the second hurdle. And then you must get down on your knees and in repentance and faith, call upon God to have mercy upon your soul and to save you. And he will. And he'll do it now. He'll do it before you leave this meeting. He'll do it before you leave this church tonight. Because he has promised that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Make preparation for heaven tonight. May God bless his word and these few thoughts to your hearts this evening. God bless.